First of all, I'm delighted to be at the HotSec conference. My name is Omar Al-Ibrahim. I'm a PhD candidate at the Computer Science Department at Southern Methodist University. And my research area focuses on the theory and practice of security in resource-constrained environments. This is part of our work at the Hackerant Labs at SMU. First of all, let's start talking about resource-constrained devices, including sensors and RFID. You know, these devices typically are severely constrained in terms of the gate count, the memory, and the power consumption. If you see on the left chart, this is the spec for the Aliens Google RFID, which is the passive RFID tag, which uses typically the EPC C1 G2 standard. And you see the different various constraints on this tag, as well as if you look at the iris mode sensor on the left, you'll see various constraints in memory processing and power capabilities. This is another chart I depicted from the AutoID Labs, which talks about, gives you the various encryption and hash algorithms and the number of computational cycles they take, as well as the gate equivalents to implement each algorithm and the power consumption. So what we're investigating in our research is new techniques for security in resource-constrained environments, especially the new generation of devices, which may not be able to support crypto functions because of constraints in crypto algorithms. And today take thousands of gates. We have energy constraints and computational constraints. So can we implement lightweight techniques to, for these types of devices? Also, with resource-constrained environments, you usually have proliferated number of devices. If you look at applications like, SCADA or control systems, where you have a deployment of sensor nodes. These sensor nodes are typically unattended, and we have an untrusted environment. So, and because we usually don't implement tamper-proof protection for these types of devices, so they can be easily compromised. The third challenge is, a lot of the sensors, the wireless sensors on RFID use the wireless channel, which is inherently broadcast, and thus you can spoof messages, replay them back to the system for intrusion. And naturally, when you talk about critical applications like SCADA or, control systems, you have aggregation-based applications that depend on the responses from these types of devices. So what our research, focuses on is trying to develop techniques that circumvent against various attacks, including eavesdropping, malicious reads, replay attacks, cloning, brute forcers, and denial of service. So what we, what we're trying to propose here, is more like a motivation for a new concept in security. So this is more of a positioning type of work. We propose something which we call security fusion. And the idea behind security fusion is that we depart from cryptographic approaches to security in, resource-constrained devices, and we try to look at new approaches to security. And here what we're trying to propose is that we implement low-cost security techniques, primitives that are inherently weak, but we're trying to have an aggregation of these techniques so that we have a system, overall system protection. And the advantage of such a scheme is that we can provide asymmetric complexity in terms of security. Thus, we can move the security overhead from the embedded nodes, the embedded logic, to the system logic. And we can implement middleware types of solutions. As an analogy, we can think of security fusion as combining the strands of multiple to form a thick bulk rope. Here we present the physical architecture. We have a centralized architecture with a group of readers acting as cluster heads, and each reader is interrogating a subset of the nodes. And the node will implement some form of logic that it will respond to the reader in a reverse unicast fashion. The responses are aggregated at the node and then sent to the backend system for processing. So what will, to simplify, the discussion, what I'm trying to present here is something like a control system, and we're trying to authenticate, you know, the responses of multiple nodes from this control system into a single metric. Video. Okay. And we will present an instantiation of the concept based on finite state machines. So we'll say we're going to define a state machine as a secret key for the node. And we're going to use the state machine as, you know, which will govern the response pattern of the node. So we're going to have a reader interrogating a node, and, you know, the node and the reader are sharing a state machine as a secret key. And when the state machine transitions to another state, we'll have some response, and the node will send the response to the reader, and based on the execution of the state machine, we will know if the node is authenticated or not. So if you don't know the transition rules or the output rules, then you don't know the state behavior, and thus you are not authenticated. A state machine can be described in terms of a set of transition rules and a set of output rules. The transition rules define the mappings from the current state to the next state given an input, and the output rules define the output mappings. Here's an example. We have a three finite machine where n is the number of states, s1, s2, s3, and we have two outgoing transitions per state, a transition on 0 and a transition on 1. And we're going to introduce something else to the model. We're going to have disjoint set of numbers that are randomly generated and which we call pseudonyms. And we assign these numbers to every state in the machine. And what we're defining here is an obfuscation scheme in which we hide the internal state representation of the node using, you know, a set of pseudonyms on every state. And the way the state machine is going to, you know, execute, we're going to have the reader interrogating the node, and then the node will be checking its current state. Given the input and the state, we'll have a random selection of a pseudonym from some set, and this set will be this pseudonym will be sent to the reader to verify the node. The security protocol works as follows. You have the reader sending the node a read query. And then the node will have some transition logic built in. It could be sending something like a Boolean detection result from a sensor. So it's going to have a 0 or a 1. It will send the 0 or 1 using an obfuscation scheme based on the state machine. So it will choose a pseudonym, and by transitioning to the next state, and the reader picks up the pseudonym and resolves the node's output. On the back end side, we're going to have the state machines. You know, the back end will store all the state machines for all of the nodes, indexed by the node ID, and it will check the machine input as well as the pseudonym set. If the pseudonym satisfies the transition rules and the output rules, then you know, the node is verified. And here we're trying to adopt a fusion algorithm from this. You know, there's an authentication scheme, but the idea is to achieve a strong consensus between all of the nodes. And this consensus could be in form of a response pattern. So we're going to check the response pattern of all the nodes to derive some secure authentic metric. So with n nodes, an intruder needs to derive at least half of the state machines to influence the system behavior. And we try to use that to reach a global decision, and the security complexity for this, we can show that it is hard. But to achieve, you know, this hard property that we would like to have, we enforce a selection criteria for the state machines. And this is one of the these are the selection criteria for the state machines, state reachability, such that every state should be reachable to every other state through a sequence of transitions, and the machine should be complex enough in the sense that we talked about having an obfuscation scheme. From a reader's perspective, because we assign a disjoint set of numbers on every state, and we have random execution on every state, when the reader picks up the pseudonyms, the reconstructed machine is non-deterministic on the reader's side. And we can analyze these, you know, the properties of this non-deterministic state machine. If we choose, you know, for certain NFAs, when you convert them to a DFA, certain selection, they lead to an exponential blow-up in the number of states. So we choose those types of state machines. The third criteria is the pseudonym randomness. The values assigned to the states are random, and the execution of the state machines are random as well. So what we're trying to analyze here is the what is the complexity of for a large-scale attack in this system. So suppose you have we're trying to compromise the secret keys of all of the nodes, and then what is the complexity for a large set of nodes? We can show that with a large number of nodes, you have this NFA to DFA state blow up, and given a natural number M, there exists an M state NFA whose minimum equivalent DFA is exponential. Given N as the number of states and K pseudonym per state, the attacker builds in an NFA, and this NFA is N times K states with NK square edges, and that is takes computational memory. And the reason we need to convert is because this NFA is more expensive than the encoded state machine. And using Hofkraft's algorithm, the conversion takes M log M complexity for a DFA, but that requires a deterministic input, and because it requires a deterministic input, when you convert the NFA to a DFA, it leads to an exponential blow-up. We also analyzed the solution space for the state machines. Given N as the number of states and K pseudonyms per state, we derived using combinatorics the following equation. When we plotted the equation, we have an exponential number of state machines given modest numbers of states. And we analyzed also the packet overhead to determine what is the number of packets that an attacker needs so that he can figure out the secret. And based on a random assumption, we can find, you can use Pascal's equations to derive the number of packets.
What is the
configuration? Different number of N's and K's. Yeah, thanks. So this is more of an initial work on secret diffusion. We're trying to prove this concept that it actually works. And we explored finite atomic concepts to realize secret diffusion. Probably the next steps is to, investigate viable state machine implementations and other models for security fusion to provide overall security for resource-constrained environments. Okay, thank you very much.